The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All on account of four. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. A busy Thursday. How you doing? What's going on, handsome? What's happening
today? Well, I'm fine as long as I don't look up at the TV.
Oh, to watch the Boston game?
It's like, who are this? Who's this team in green? It's like, ugh.
In case people don't know, Celtics are playing right now. We'll keep you updated on the score. They're playing in London.
They're getting blasted.
Is this like a vacation? Does this game count against the standings? I don't even know.
Apparently, it's a vacation for the team in green, but this is what they do every game. But within half an hour, they'll be ahead.
What's going on, Brady? You missed a good time last night at the City Sports Grill.
It wasn't my choice. I was in here engineering the UVM game. And look, I'm not saying I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm just saying I had two things that I needed to do yesterday, and I could only do one. And somebody had to keep the UVM game on the air. They've won five straight now.
It was packed last night, pretty much.
It was packed. I couldn't believe it.
We did trivia. Rich was the only one crying that the questions were too hard.
Impossible. Absolutely impossible questions. I'm sitting there.
That's a really good endorsement to get people to come next week.
Yeah, no, because we'll obviously dumb it down.
I don't know what football team plays at Hard Rock Stadium.
That was the easiest question all night. That was the first question.
That was the Miami Dolphins. Yes. I mean, was that tough?
No, that was the one I got right.
Okay.
I did a bunch of them. I did it by myself and got a bunch of them.
What Red Sox catcher? Nickname was Frankenstein?
Who in the world has ever heard Frankenstein with Carlton Fisk?
I've heard that
He's
before.
He's Pudge Fisk, not Frankenstein.
The one about the guy, I'll throw it in. If you want to get the answer on the Tough Air Tire text side, we'll give you a t-shirt. To the first person that gets this right, what did they sell ketchup for back in the 1800s? Remember that was one of the questions?
Who the hell's going to know that?
It's not that tough. It's not that tough. Brady, do you know the answer to that one?
I do.
Oh, you see, Brady knows.
All right. Well, maybe it just wasn't my kind of category.
Right, first person on the Tough Air Tire text, so I get that.
Don't Google.
What do you mean, don't Google?
That was the thing last night. You were ready to smack some people around
night. Yeah, no cheating. Can't cheat. No cheating on
that. But, look, even though I didn't play well, it was great fun. I couldn't believe it. I walked in there, and there wasn't anywhere to sit.
One of the questions was great. These three girls were sitting there. The name of their team was, we're just here for the drinks. And, they were really funny. They were playing trivia. And they're like, that question's so hard. The question was, 1976 decathlon winner in Montreal for the Olympics.
Right.
And I told the girls, I go, ladies, forget about the Olympics. Forget about they didn't even know what the decathlon was, which is okay. Not a lot of people do. I go, forget about that. You all three know the answer. I promise you.
Yes, they do.
You all know the answer. So forget about sports. Forget about that. It's pop culture.
Right.
Somebody in the pop culture actually won that Olympic event. Now, and they put down Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Why didn't you just narrow it down and say he's now a she?
How many people would? How many would you have guessed after
that? That may have helped a lot because they're younger.
Because the answer was Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Right.
So next week I'm hosting.
Next week you are hosting.
Were you giving hints to everyone, or were you like rule and iron fist?
I would give a little bit of, like, people right now when I ask the ketchup thing. Kevin in Plattsburgh says tomato soup. That's wrong.
That's what I said.
Cody in Plattsburgh said for cleaning. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
No, that's wrong also. So you
impossible.
Guys, what did they sell ketchup for back in the 1800s?
How would anyone know that?
Medicine.
It was medicine.
How do you know that?
I just do.
It's medicine.
Okay. Well, you I kind of looked at you on that one and said, you're kidding, right?
Oh, people were grabbing the ketchup on the table to look at the back
yes,
to see if they could figure that out.
No,
see if they get the answer there.
It was a blast, though. And I'm just, you know, if I show up, which I will next Wednesday, I'd appreciate you dumbing it down to my level.
No, it was pretty much that we had a sport, like out of the eight questions per round, like five were sports.
Yeah.
And then the other three were kind of like non-sports, you know, stuff like that.
Frankenstein Fisk.
How would you not know that?
In my life heard that.
How about who was the first, was it the first athlete on the cover of a Wheaties box?
I got that one, Lou Gehrig.
And I said it was a Yankee first baseman. What more do you want me to say? How many more hints do I got to give you?
No, that's a good one. We got that right. I had no problem with
that. Goodness you got that one right. I mean, geez. I mean, they weren't all that. My wife was coming up with the questions.
But it was great.
It was
great.
No, it was good. We had a good
impressed.
Time. Yeah.
You actually
That, I'm very good at that.
You had a grip on that whole situation.
I need to be, my calling in life was to be a game show host. There's no doubt about that. I really wanted to do The Price is Right. That would have been perfect.
So should we just play power play every day?
Every power play. I told you I wanted to fill in. I wanted to be a game show host. They had Carney Wilson filled in. I think she was the host of the Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
Because you know I was on that.
Yes, you were.
I wanted to host that too. I had to do that.
But a great time.
It was a great time. We're going to be doing it every Wednesday. So certainly come out to the City Sports Grill. It was a lot of fun. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do tonight. Anybody? I feel like playing poker.
Wow.
No, I do. I feel
I
like
do
playing.
Too, actually.
I do. I feel like anybody having poker night Thursday night? I feel like playing poker.
Bring Arnie into the fray.
Yeah, but does three of a kind beat two pair?
I couldn't tell you one rule about poker.
Oh, really?
I've never played it
so
in my life.
So you should come and play.
Yeah, you should come play, Rich. Come play poker.
All right, maybe I will.
But bring your paycheck, too.
Is there pizza and beer?
Yeah. Bring your paycheck, too.
We have pizza in the studio today.
Yeah. I know. But
you know what? Bring two paychecks. We'll teach you how to play. Don't worry about it. You'll be pretty good at
this. So you're saying I could lose $200?
Yeah. I'm serious. I feel like playing poker tonight. I don't know why. I haven't played poker in a long time.
I'll tell you what's driving me nuts. I can't wait for this week to end. This no Boston sports on any nights of this week is driving me nuts. Driving me nuts. I got to have those games to watch at home.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Otherwise, I'd have to watch a real TV show, which you guys are encouraging me to try.
Yeah.
Yes. What's that one you want me to watch?
The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory on every channel.
It's called The Big Overrated Show.
Oh, stop.
So go ahead and do that. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. So, if you're having poker night, let us know. Maybe Rich, I, and Brady will come on by. And we play high stakes.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play high stakes.
What are high stakes?
I would say if you're playing for over $100.
Oh, wow. Yeah. My wife won't let me play for that. My brother plays high stakes with a bunch of guys that make a boatload of money.
Okay. They
fight every weekend.
Can I still play with an account balance of $8.17?
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right.
Bring your gold watch.
Yeah.
Bring your
Walmart 1987 watch.
Bring your
pink slip, too. Bring the pink slip to your car.
Bring your Boston Bruins shirt you wore 3 or 4 days this week. Yeah, bring that.
I'll just bring all my clothes.
All right. Well, it's a busy show. Lots going on this Thursday. Brady, tell everybody what's coming up on the show.
Well, for Saturday night, join us for more fun. We'll be at McGillicuddy's in Essex for the Patriot game. What's coming up today? Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, will join us in 10 minutes. Big deal, little deal, no deal, 4:35. Nice. Matt Verderam, 5 o'clock from Fansided. The Celtics are in London, as we referenced at the top of the show. But first, we did this a lot earlier in the season, and because the Patriots have played so well, we haven't had to do it. We're bringing it back. As we move towards game day, which Patriot do you want to see step up most here in the first game of the playoffs?
You know, I never thought I would have to say this, and I don't want to be Captain Obvious, Rich, but since he's had 5 subpar games in a row, I'll start with Tom Brady. Yeah, no. I mean, he could not have another subpar game and expect the Patriots to have a big enough lead where they don't have to worry about this. He's looked very pedestrian.
I disagree with that because it's Tennessee. Tom Brady can have a lousy game, and they could still win this
game.
That's
true.
But next week,
you don't want to risk it. I
want
to say I was listening to watching Colin Cowherd's show today, and they were talking about the Patriots, and they were, you know how they have to run the same clips over and over for the most part, because if you run more than 1 minute straight, then you got to start paying for it. So they'll run like 45 seconds, and they'll redo it. They were showing Tom Brady. And he missed. I mean, he was overthrowing. He throwed up areas where there was no receivers. He was, I don't know if they just showed his worst throws in 5 games, but he was very pedestrian. So I would start with him. I'm not so worried about like Gronk or the offensive line or the running game or anything like that. But if I was going to say 2 things, obviously one's Brady, and I'm going to have to say the secondary, because they're going to have to cheat to help out to stop the run. If they do that, then if Mariota goes deep, it could be a closer game. I think it could be like 26-20, 26-23, Patriots winning by 3.
I think you're crazy, but no, I understand. I would, just as a fan, would like to see Brady have a good game, just so he can feel a little more confident that that guy is back again just in time for when we need him most. I'm going to go with a guy like Alan Branch, who's coming back, because Mariota's the one guy on that team. Well, there's a couple of guys in the backfield that need to be controlled. And I think getting Branch back is huge. They're getting back a couple of key guys on the offense, too. But he is going to be a major person involved in controlling Mariota's ability to step out, not just step out of the pocket with time, but with time to run the ball down the field. And he killed Kansas City by doing that.
I think it's the linebacker group for similar reason. I think the whole linebacker group, whether we're looking at Flowers, Harrison, whoever's back there, Kyle Van Noy who's back, I think one of the biggest keys in this game is going to be, can they keep Mariota in the pocket? I think largely that's going to fall on the linebackers group. Maybe a spy on Mariota at times, maybe someone who at least just keeps him in that lane going vertically rather than getting to stretch it outside. You know, if you keep him inside and force him to step up in the pocket and limit those gains to 2 or 3 yards rather than 7 or 8 yards. Mobile quarterbacks have had success against the Patriots this year and in past years. Deshaun Watson had 8 carries for 41 yards this year. That's 5 yards a carry. Cam Newton, 8 for 44, 5 yards a carry, also scored a touchdown. Russell Wilson came into Foxborough last year and won, doing his whirling dervish stuff, running all over the field. If Mariota can get outside and break containment and make crazy things happen, I think that's the Titans' best chance.
You know what? I saw that article in the Boston Globe, how Patriots have problems with mobile quarterbacks. A lot of teams have problems with mobile quarterbacks. One thing, though, it's not the 40 yards that's going to kill you. It's not the 45 yards or anything like that. And I'll go to the Blake Bortles game last week. It's when he does it.
Absolutely.
It's that 3rd and 6.
Exactly.
To pick up a 3rd and 6, invaluable. Yep. I mean,
and
absolutely.
Your secondary does a perfect A-plus job
and
in coverage.
To do that, like I said, it's invaluable.
It's
to
pick a backbreaker for the defense.
You know what? To run for 12 yards on 1st and 10, that's a good play, but so what? It's still now 1st and 10 again, and you got to start all over again. Sure, you like to pick up 12 yards at a pop, but that's not going to happen. When you're picking up 3rd and 6, that just kills the defense.
You know, I was talking to Brandon Lang, our Vegas insider, recently. You know what he told me going into last week? Mariota going into last week, in his career in the red zone, 39 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
39 touchdowns, 0 turnovers. Not even just interceptions, 0 turnovers. He got at least one last week, so it's either 40 or 41 or whatever that he's responsible for in the red zone. He's not going to beat himself at least between the 20s. He's going to have to take care of the ball outside of that. Even more interceptions than touchdowns this year.
I do. I worry about him more than Derrick Henry, who had obviously the big game in Kansas City last week.
Because
I think Henry's going to get his 50 or 60 yards. But Mariota, like what you just said, Arnie, I mean, that's the backbreaker when it's 3rd and 8 and everyone's doing their job perfectly and he just takes off and runs out of bounds right at the stick.
All right, like the minister said, speak up now or forever hold your peace. I kind of want to know what the score is going to be of the game. You tell me on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. I'm starting to think maybe I have the score 26-23, right about the total amount of points there. I don't know if you think it's going to be a high score.
You have the total amount of points right, except it's going to be 49 to nothing.
Yeah, well, yeah. There you go there.
I think it's going to be 38-10, somewhere in that.
Yep.
Wow. So you guys think it's going to be blowouts?
I do think it's going to be a blowout. Now, the weather could play a factor. The weather here is supposed to be just horrendous all Saturday. The weather here is supposed to be horrendous all day Saturday. It's going to be, if it's, you know, similar in Boston, and we know it's not supposed to be good for most of the East Coast. If it's wet and slushy there, and if there is any snow, I do think that makes it more of a running game, which could keep the score down.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do think that if conditions are favorable enough to throw in, I think Brady and company really exploit
that. You two guys have a blowout. Eric in Colchester said 35-13 Patriots. You guys are going to be very shocked if this is close going in the fourth quarter. Who do we got on the line, Brady?
We got Scott in Essex Junction.
Scott, Essex Junction. You're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, Scott. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man.
Well, I heard you're looking for a Thursday night card game.
Yeah, you got a card game going tonight, Scott?
Yeah, my buddies and I from Global Foundries, we've been playing Texas Hold'em for 13-plus years, and a buddy of mine's in Colchester, and you and Rich are more than welcome to join us.
Not Brady.
Wait, what about Brady? What about Brady?
Oh, him too.
Yeah,
I need you guys there, especially, Brady also, and I need you there, Arnie, because I'm a Crimson Tide fan, and I want you to defend me and saying they deserved their national championship, and they didn't back in, and there's a plethora of guys who think different.
All right, how many guys do you have playing poker tonight? How many guys do you have there?
Well, there'll be, if you guys show up, there'll probably be 8 of us.
You take checks?
Well, you know, if we're talking money, let's just say there's a few dollar buy-in for your show.
May there be a couple of beers flowing occasionally at this event?
Yeah, well, there's some non-drinkers like Arnie, and there's some guys who have a couple of beers, but okay. It's pretty laid back.
Can you put him on hold? Can you get his number? Or can he send
in
his
text?
Text in your name and address and stuff like that, or number. Can you do
that? Definitely.
All right, perfect.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Definitely.
All right, thank you, Scott. We may go play poker tonight.
Boy, is he going to regret that phone call?
We may go play poker tonight. What, he said up in Colchester?
Yep.
His friend's house.
He said he got a buddy in Colchester.
I love the way he says, well, we're all going to my buddy's house so we can destroy that house.
I like that. I wonder if it's in a nice house or it's like a...
it won't be after tonight.
Yeah, can we destroy it? You know what I mean? That's good. It should be interesting. Do we want to go to stranger's house? I'm a little worried about that. But that's okay. I live dangerously.
We're strangers
to
them.
What the heck?
By the way, Foxborough, Mass was Saturday. Morning rain, 100% chance. The high 51, the low 13.
Oh, wow.
So, in other words, it's going to pour and then it's all going to freeze.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Mike Renner about that from Pro Football Focus. We'll see how much the weather's going to play havoc on the game. That's coming up next. We're playing poker tonight, maybe. All that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a Thursday, 11th day of January, taking you into your week. We can start tonight. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, at a poker game, apparently.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on, a little bit more about that. But first, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now from Pro Football Focused, it's Mike Renner. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot for coming on. Right off the bat, you know, we were talking about Tom Brady last 4 or 5 games, looked a little pedestrian. I'm not saying he's completely losing it, but I think he's slipping a little bit. Are you seeing that, or there's no concern here with Tom Brady maybe slipping a little bit?
I'm not concerned. He's still, for us, was our highest grade quarterback this season. And he had the highest grade single game of any quarterback this season. That was all the way in week 15. So that's not too far. You know, he's not too far removed from that. So, yes, he's probably played his worst stretch of football over the past handful of games. But I'm not going to call it slipping in one bit. I know we've called him declining before here at PFF and been proven wrong. So, I'll hold off on that one.
That's all right, Mike. He's a Dolphins fan. He just doesn't get it.
Yeah, so I just don't get it.
He needs to understand this won't happen.
But I am thinking about transferring to be a Browns fan. So,
hey, Mike, I mean, obviously you guys at Pro Football Focus follow the guys all year long. Explain to us how you grade players and evaluate players and such.
So it's a pretty in-depth process. Explaining the whole thing would take a long time, and teaching someone how to do it takes somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 months. But comes down to is that on every play, we evaluate your performance in relation to what you're expected to do on a play. So if you do what you're expected to do on a play, you hold your gap as a defensive lineman, you complete a screen pass as a quarterback, that's a 0 grade. If you go above and beyond, you start getting positive grades. If you go, do worse than you're expected, you get negative grades. And then those sum up over the course of the game, and we apply a normalization factor, and then that's based on, the position that you play, and then that's your turns out to be your overall grade for game and over the season.
Did you go to MIT or something like that? I don't know. Jeez. Unbelievable.
No, I did not. I went to Notre Dame, but it's I don't do the heavy lifting on the math side of things. I just do the grading.
So he didn't have good grades as he went to Notre Dame. I'm kidding.
It wouldn't have lasted 3 days.
I went to Ivy League, in case you forgot, University of Arizona. So come on now, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, we know that in baseball circles, the analytics guys are getting jobs in front offices. Is that going to be the case for Pro Football Focus guys as well soon?
I don't know. I really don't think it is. I don't think it's ever going to be that widely accepted because the sample sizes just aren't there in football. Now, you can get close if you're truly evaluating someone's performance on every snap, but that's difficult to do. You know, even over a 700-game sample size, it's difficult to truly isolate one player like it is in baseball where, you're hitting a baseball. You're the one guy doing the work. So I do think that it'll get generally more accepted around the NFL, and they'll get smarter about things like values of draft picks, trade value, that sort of thing. and contract value, but I don't think it'll ever be the numbers say this, so we're drafting this guy. I think it's always going to be a lot of old-school scouting that goes into it.
You know, obviously, you grade the players, you grade the games, you look at that, you figure out who's going to win, you even throw in home field advantage and all that. How do you account for the weather? I mean, that could affect the game by, like, 3-4 touchdowns. What do you do about that?
I don't do any of that sort of projecting on our website, our pick stuff. I'm not sure how they account for the weather, but I'm not involved in that whole process.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's
so, so, Mike, I mean, we're talking about Tom Brady. What are you seeing from him overall this year as far as the way you grade somebody like that? Is there a drop-off? Obviously, the last month there has been, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, there's a drop-off from where he was a season ago, but he was still playing, you know, some of the best football we've ever seen or ever graded a season ago. So it's always hard to replicate those sort of results. The one thing we have seen from him that's sort of interesting is that this offense, it looks different than offenses we've seen in years past in terms of he's throwing the ball down the field a lot more than he ever has. He has a lot more completions, 20-plus yards, than he has, since the year 2007 when he was doing it with Randy Moss. So it's sort of evolved with their personnel, not having Julian Edelman underneath. They've evolved into a much deeper passing offense. And so his yards, average depth of target is about a yard farther than it was a season ago. And sometimes that leads to inconsistency in terms of results. His, completion percentage is down, and a lot of games you'll, have a lot of incompletions just because when you're throwing down the field, you'll get more incompletions. But overall, I think grade-wise, he's still held up and still one of the best in the league. And is always liable to go off for a huge game in that offense.
Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. What does the math say about the best way to affect Brady? Is it playing zone? Is it playing man? Is it blitzing? Is it four down linemen? We always hear, oh, you got to knock him down. Well, what is the most mathematically efficient way to alter Brady's success?
I think man-to-man coverage is, from what we've seen in our data, but the only thing is, like, man-to-man coverage, but you got to do something about Gronk. Like, yeah, it's man-to-man coverage, but you have to have an answer for Rob Gronkowski because he torches man-to-man coverage. He is just a guy who you cannot truly account for. There are very few players in the NFL right now that can stick with him in man-to-man coverage, and we saw that the last Steelers game. We've seen that down the stretch, and the interesting thing is the Titans, they play the second most man coverage of any team in the NFL, so I think they're going to be content to go ahead and do that this weekend. But again, I'm not sure they have a single guy who can line up with Rob Gronkowski. So I expect Rob Gronkowski to have a big game, but they could shut down. They could do a better job of shutting down the weapons on the outside like Brandon Cooks that other teams maybe haven't.
What did Pro Football Focus think of the Titans coming in? Obviously, or not obviously, did you not even have them getting by Kansas City or what?
No, yeah, we had Kansas City winning that game. We had a little closer than the spread, but we still had Kansas City fairly comfortably thought they'd win that game. The thing is, it's just the Titans' offense has been so inconsistent. Right? Week to week, the consistency there just isn't there. It comes and goes. They really need that run game, that offensive line, to be playing at a dominant level, and they did last week. I don't see it, though, going up against the Patriots front. I just don't think you're going to be able to run the ball consistently against the Patriots. They don't allow a lot of teams to do that.
Of course, Mariota comes in out of the draft with such fanfare, and he's the next big deal. A lot of people looked at it that way. Where did he go with your numbers this year from, say, last?
He improved in terms of taking care of the football this year, even though his interception totals are very bad, and I think he had 15 picks. He had the second worst interception luck in our data behind Matt Ryan, so he didn't even throw 15 what we deem turnover-worthy throws, yet had 15 interceptions.
Wow.
Whereas it's usually the opposite end of the spectrum. So a guy like Matt Stafford had 25 turnover-worthy throws this year and only 10 interceptions. Usually you have a lot of dropped interceptions or things that, bounce your way to where all your turnover-worthy throws don't get converted into picks, while Mariota's this year just had, the way it ended up, they all got converted into picks. So he's playing better from that perspective, making more big-time throws down the field than ever before. But he's been inconsistent in terms of making throws when it counts, making throws on third downs, and he's still not a terribly accurate passer. His adjusted completion percentage, which is our, what we'd use to sort of measure the accuracy of a quarterback that takes out things like spikes, throwaways, other things to completion percentage, he's still one of the lower ones in the league. So accuracy not great, but he's making bigger throws on the field, throwing fewer turnover-worthy throws. So we have seen development from him, even if his raw stats don't say it.
Mike, I'm always fascinated by this. Like, when I look at fantasy football, I think of Blake Bortles last season. He would put up a lot of points, but probably because Jacksonville was down a lot. So he was kind of a fantasy darling, but not great in actual football. Is there anybody who you grade and you say, okay, this guy sabermetrically is a darling, but his numbers appear to be better than he actually is?
So looking for a guy who had just better numbers but didn't necessarily play extremely well this year, is that what you're saying? Okay, so I think a guy who at least his passer rating was better than what we saw from a overall grading perspective was Jared Goff this year. While he was great, like while he made huge strides from his rookie year, he graded out terribly his rookie year and did make huge strides, he wasn't a guy that we would tab as, you know, even a top 10 quarterback this season because he had a ton of yards after the catch, one of the highest percentage of yards after the catch of any quarterback this year, had a lot of, a good deal of interception luck, and I just think, and also was throwing to the fewest contested catch opportunities of anyone in the NFL. Basically, what that means is he had receivers running wide open. He wasn't throwing into tight windows. He was throwing to wide open guys. So his numbers look great. That offense was great, but not a lot of it was, you know, purely on the backs of Goff and his arm.
So do you look at it and say, okay, I can tell Sean McVay is even better than all of us think because his scheme has allowed these guys to get so open?
Yes, I was incredibly impressed with what Sean McVay did this year, and his scheme was a ton of yards after the catch opportunities purely through what he was drawing up on paper, yeah.
Mike, final score, Titans 27, Pats 24. What would have happened? What would have happened in that game if that is the final score?
I'm going to say Derrick Henry went for like 150 and Mariota maybe ran for 100 himself.
Yeah.
And Brady got hurt on the first play.
No, that's very possible. Henry had 150 before, and Mariota had some good runs in the last game, I think. So, I mean,
It is possible, but yeah, that's pretty much what would need to happen, in my opinion.
All right. Well, Mike, always a pleasure. Good job, buddy. We'll certainly enjoy the weekend, and we'll definitely do it again.
Yep, thanks so much for having me, guys.
All right, take care. Mike Renner, everybody of Pro Football Focus. And we're getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line, too. Like Mike, Big Mike and McGillicuddy's Pats 34-13. Mariota will turn it over way too much. Great job, fellas. Everybody has it a blowout. Nobody says this game being close whatsoever.
Right.
And I know the spread is, 14.5 now. People are jumping all over the Patriots to bet on this one, but I'm surprised that nobody thinks it's going to be close whatsoever.
Big Mike and I agree. That's about where I have it as well. I just don't think Tennessee has the offensive firepower. They're going to have to turn to the passing game almost immediately because they're going to get down early, and that's going to be a problem.
I am so fascinated by that analytics stuff. Yeah. I know, Arnie, you hate it.
Yeah, I do.
You hate
it. Yeah.
I do. Arnie's like, just show me my eye test and show me the box score at the end.
So you don't care about BABIP and WAR
and
baseball?
No, absolutely not. The only way I do a little bit of statistics, obviously, is in baseball. And to me, I think batting average is so important that everybody appreciates now because it's all about the home runs and, to me, batting average and RBIs. But the analytics, I don't buy into that. They use baseball analytic guy for what was his name?
For the Browns, Paul DePodesta.
I was going to call it DePodesta. Right?
You didn't like hearing about the turnover-worthy throw and stuff? I'm fascinated by that.
No.
Like, basically saying that Mariota got more unlucky than any other quarterback in the league. Basically, everything that could have gone wrong for him with his throws did go wrong for him, and a guy like Stafford got incredibly lucky, and he's the highest paid player in the entire league. I'm fascinated by that.
I'd spend about 15 minutes looking at that, think it was really cool, and that would be enough for me because it would just confuse me. That's like with baseball. I'm interested in things like OBP. That's important. How often do you get on base? That's really important. But when you start talking, you start mixing together like two or three of those things into one stat. That's when it kind of overwhelms this old guy.
Oh, I love these Town Fair Tire text line. Frank in Crown Point says New England 33, Tennessee Titans 23.
So you don't love that.
No, I don't love that one. But I do like Brian in Richmond that says, has the Titans 41, Patriots 10, Brady tears Achilles career over.
And Bill to Giants.
Bill to Giants.
I love that one even better. I love that one even better. So
that's another Dolphins fan, by the way.
Probably. That's
no, it
fine.
Is. Oh, it is. Trust me. Oh, yeah. Brian in Richmond.
Can you imagine if it's a blowout? Think about this.
It will be. I'm imagining it right now.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, though, let's say the Patriots do get blown out. Let's say they lose by 14 to 17 points.
Okay.
You don't know. Anything's possible. Yeah. It's not impossible for a team.
That is a sky is falling scenario, though, in Boston.
You
that's for sure.
You don't think Patriot fans the next day will be screaming Brady's done. What did we do? We got rid of Garoppolo. Now we're losing our coordinators. We're going to lose Belichick. You don't think that's going to be going
on? They
right
absolutely now? Will be thinking that, including
100%,
myself.
100%. Yeah, that's what happened.
That's like we talked about yesterday. Could he stick around long enough to become the villain?
That's what we talked about yesterday. It could come real fast. It could come this weekend.
By the way, remember when we started the show? And I started going off on the Celtics, who were down by 20 at the time.
And I told you stop it because they were going to come back and take the lead.
They are winning.
Yeah, by a point.
How is that possible in an NBA game? They were losing by 20
points.
What happens
all the time?
And they're winning the game right now in London.
If I had tickets to an NBA game, I wouldn't show up till halfway through the third quarter.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I'd say, all right, I'm ready for the game. I just want to stay for like an hour.
But they do this every game. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, they're down 18 in the first quarter?
If I went to a baseball game, I wouldn't show up till the sixth inning. I just go for the sixth through the ninth. That's pretty much it.
They're up three right now in the third quarter. Unreal.
Unbelievable.
Every night.
Brady, what is coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, we're going to talk more about the Patriots and Titans. I expect a very, very clean game. I'll explain to you what I mean. And also, the Red Sox and J.D. Martinez, they're proving my point I've said all along about Boston.
I don't think so.
They are, as a matter of fact.
What does that mean?
Wow. Well, are we going to do 30 seconds of baseball today? Is that what we're going to get into?
Better do more than that.
Wow.
Although there's nothing to talk about
really?
In baseball.
Really? Yeah, there's baseball.
There's plenty
dead right
to talk
now.
About.
It's
plenty.
Dead.
I'd rather talk about poker.
Ira in Charlotte says 28-13. I think he's going with the Patriots in that one. Henry has 125 yards. Yeah, everybody's going with the Patriots. Nobody sees the upset here.
Eric and Fletcher, 54-3, New England.
Yeah, wasn't that the score of the Bears beating the Patriots in the
Super Bowl? Close, and people forget the Patriots scored the first 3 points of that Super Bowl.
That was the best Super Bowl ever.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Best ever?
Trust me, I didn't care because—
Might have been the best sporting event in the history of sports.
The fact that my beloved New England Patriots were actually in a Super Bowl was beyond anything I could ever imagine. I was just happy to be there.
Brady, what is coming up next?
Big deal. Little deal. No deal.
Oh, you love this game.
We debuted it last week. I've been clamoring for Thursday all week.
That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Are we going to go to Scott's house and play poker tonight? Have we figured that out yet? I got $13 burning a hole in my pocket, man. I just
I have seven in my account.
Yes, so. That's 20 between the two of us, I'm sure. That's going to go ahead and go a long way.
They're going to have to buy the beers.
Brady, so. You're a poker guy. When you go, like, if you go to
I
Vegas.
I like it.
Have you been to Vegas?
No.
Oh, wow.
I like blackjack and three-card poker.
You've never been to Vegas?
No.
Rich, you've been to Vegas.
I drove through it last year on the way to something else. Never stopped.
Am I working with two 10-year-olds?
The traffic was a nightmare, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
No offense.
It was 7 a.m. There was nothing going on.
You're not a man if you've never been to Vegas. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I just got to say it like that.
That's good to know.
You've not lived life unless you've been to Las Vegas.
Well, then I guess I'm a man since I have been to Vegas. I drove through it.
No, that doesn't count. All right? That doesn't count. You got to stop and enjoy Vegas
to
be a man.
It's not real exciting at 7 a.m. on a Monday, let me tell
you. Oh, yes, it is. Well, it's exciting no matter anytime.
It wasn't that day.
Unbelievable. If you've never been to Vegas, you guys are missing out. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get to our next segment. Big deal, little deal, or no deal.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, hold on. See, he wasn't ready for that.
No,
the phones are ringing. He's thinking about playing poker.
Trying to find a song.
No, something happened.
And then he yells, a song about dealing?
And then he yells at me when I say, oh, you weren't ready for it. Oh, what?
Time I'm good. Here, this was supposed to have played.
Right, here we go. Big deal, little deal, or no deal.
Welcome back to the huddle. It's time for our newest feature.
Maybe this one will sweep the nation also.
It's time for big deal.
Rich, you guys are missing the point. This is a huge deal.
Little deal.
Oh, please, Arnie. This is nothing.
Or no deal.
You guys are both wrong. It's in the middle. How am I even still listening to you?
On 101.3 ESPN.
Now, the production's a lot better than we are so far.
There you go.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal. Where do you want to start things off? We got music, too. Look at that.
Alan Branch, Patriots defensive tackle, says he's ready to go for Saturday night's game against the Titans. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Before I answer that.
Who's Alan
who?
Branch?
Who? He knows me like a
really?
Book. Who? Who? does he work in Congress or something? This is no deal whatsoever. If you're relying on this guy to think that you need him to get over the hump, you're in big trouble. I want you to know that. If this is the guy you needed back to beat the Titans, you might as well just roll over and die now. It's no deal whatsoever.
I'm going to go a little farther. So little deal means sort of a deal.
Yes.
All right, I'll go with sort of a deal to back up what I said at the top of the show, that Alan Branch is very important in keeping an eye on Marcus Mariota so he doesn't run wild like he did against the Chiefs last week.
Well, little deal, but that's not the right reason. He's not going to be in charge of keeping an eye on Mariota. Branch is an interior lineman.
Well, all right, it's true, but if he can get into the backfield, if he can stop the running game,
yes.
Because we know their passing game is, thank you for a second chance.
Yes, little
to
deal.
Make my point.
Little deal because he's more going to be a guy who can stop Derrick Henry. He's 350 pounds. He can clog up the middle of that interior defensive line. He can help rotate out a guy like Trey Flowers and help keep people fresh. This is a bigger deal. This is a bigger deal than Arnie wants it to be. But again, they've won games without him over the last 2 years. They've left him home on road trips earlier this season. He's not going to make or break that run coverage.
Excuse me, can I have more breadsticks, please? Oh, you play for the Patriots. My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
I don't know who
you are.
Question two, big deal, little deal, no deal. We now know who's going to play in London next season in the NFL. The Patriots and Jaguars will not play in London. They'll play that game in Jacksonville. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Is there anything lower than no deal? I mean, really, so what? So, okay, I'm glad they're not playing. Actually, the only thing is I'm glad they're not playing in London. Otherwise, no deal. I could care less right now. I'm worried about the playoffs. It's Jacksonville. I mean, even though they're in the playoffs, I still don't even care about them. So, no deal whatsoever. I don't care about where they play.
I'll go tiny little minuscule deal, but not a no deal because I would have liked to have had the Patriots, as they seem to do every year, go to London as the away team and get away with one less away game because it's a neutral field.
I'll say it's big deal, and I think they actually should have wanted to play in London because Jacksonville's a team that's in the playoffs with a great defense, and now you're going to play them in a true road game. I'd rather play that team in a neutral site.
Sort of what my point was.
So I'm saying it's a big deal.
Anytime, so big?
If you have to go on the road and play a playoff team that's in the AFC, I think that's a big deal. We made a big deal about them it's the same thing we thought this year. Oh, it's great they're playing Oakland in Mexico City and not in Oakland when the schedule came out. We all thought that was a big deal. I think this is a big deal.
Why does Jacksonville go to London every year?
Because Shad Khan also owns an English Premier League team.
Ah. So it just seems like the last team that England would want.
Well, it has been.
I'll take anybody.
Because they've been so bad. My Seahawks have to go to Oakland against the Raiders. So Gruden.
Oakland?
Yeah. They have to go to London against Oakland.
Oh, London.
Rather.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about as far a plane trip as you could have for
any
NFL team.
But Oakland should be playing there. That's actually works against you. Because playing in Oakland, it's not even a home field advantage for them anymore.
So you're saying that Oakland and Seattle are going to London?
Yes.
That's the worst possible geographic plane trip.
Yeah, but Oakland doesn't play. Remember, they don't have that home field anymore because they're moving to Vegas.
But they have Gruden.
But what is that, a 15-hour flight? I mean, that's all the way across America and then all the way across the ocean.
So they have Gruden. Maybe they'll go the other way. They'll go through Russia and China and get back that
London
way.
By way of Siberia.
Through Europe. Question three, big deal, little deal, no deal. Speaking of London, the Celtics and 76ers are currently playing in London, and the Celtics lead that game by 5 as we close in on the fourth quarter. Basketball in London, big deal, little deal, no deal.
I'll go with no deal again. Am I supposed to be eating strawberries and cream while I'm watching this thing? I don't know, but seriously, I mean, are they all polite? Do they only clap after the ball's out of bounds and they give... You know, little.
Or do they storm the court and riot?
No, there's no rioting.
Like soccer crowds.
Is that, by the way, is it strawberries and cream in London? I don't want to be the ugly American, but is that what they do there?
I think so. And Triscuits.
Yeah, Triscuits. I don't do Triscuits. I don't do tea. I don't do
crumpets.
Big Ben crumpets. The Queen. I don't want it over in London. The only reason I cared that the game was on this afternoon is because I thought we were going to get the day off and put the game on instead of us.
Wasn't kidding. Once
I found out that we didn't get the day off, I could care less what the hell they were doing.
Yeah, that's all he cared about was getting the day off. Yeah. What does that tell you? Yeah.
So no deal. No,
you don't like
no
us,
crumpets,
do you?
No crumpets and tea. Is any of our listeners sound like crumpets and tea type guys?
Listen, the only thing I like about this is the fact that, well, first of all, they just came back from 20 points down and now be up 6. But I didn't even know there was an NBA game in London, to tell you the truth. This is the first I've ever even noticed it. It's like, the how many years in a row is this?
I want to say it's like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's just, they're trying, obviously. I understand why they're doing it. They want it to get international, but England just isn't biting. They're not biting. It's soccer mad. It's
rugby.
Cricket. Yeah, cricket and rugby.
Yeah.
I mean, basketball just doesn't work. And Celtics are full of international players, which is appealing. Plus, they're the Celtics. But I just, okay, you fill the O2 arena once, and then everything stops.
Let's play in Siberia instead.
I'm going big deal again, and I think it's for a different reason, though. Again, I don't care as much about the game growing in Britain, just like I don't care as much about soccer growing here. We're trying to make it happen and fit a square peg through a round hole. I don't know that it's going to work. But this is a big deal because this game allowed the Celtics' second half of the schedule to be much more fair. The Celtics played 40 games in 70 days in the first half of the season. Now they're playing 40 games in 97 days to end the season, and it's all because of this trip. This trip's allowing them one game in 9 days. The team that played the most games of anybody the first half of the season,
it's like spring break,
is going to get the best second half of the season schedule, all because they were going to London. So I'm going to say it is a big deal because it helps the Celtics out schedule-wise.
Well, it's a big deal for me as a fan. One game in 9 days, it drives me
tea and crumpets.
Ridiculous. Now we have to wait, what, another 6 days for the next Celtics game?
Can you imagine tea and crumpets, governor?
There's no governor. It's the...
Whatever.
The Duke.
Duke.
The Duke of Wellington.
Strawberries and cream dip.
What's the queen in all this?
I have no
idea. She's that. Is it still Queen Elizabeth? Or
I don't know.
Queen Victoria? I think it's Elizabeth.
I don't know.
I don't think Victoria.
To me, Queen is a rock band. So.
Question four, big deal, little deal, no deal. JD Martinez is reportedly willing to wait into spring training to sign a contract. Big deal, little deal, no deal
for
the Red Sox.
Is that an actor, JT Martinez? No, is that somebody else I'm thinking about?
So is this no deal again? Are you just going to go no deal the whole way?
Look, it's a little bit of a deal because he is waiting, and we know that Scott Boras controls all of the free agent market. Are you saying it's a big deal, little deal, or no deal for the Red Sox, or just that he is signing?
Yes, for the Red Sox.
Well, yeah, it's a little deal to the Red Sox. Obviously, they want to get that position filled. I still don't understand why we can't call anybody up from AAA, AA, Single A, and Rookie League, because you love doing that, Brady. And don't tell me you don't have anybody, but somebody's playing down there. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a deal, because now you're not going to be able to figure out who's going to go there. You might have to go in a different direction, but you can't wait till maybe spring training.
And I agree with everything you just said, except I'm calling it a big deal for the exact same reason. I mean, what do you do with JBJ? I mean, everything's just on hold right now with the Boston outfield. Especially when Martinez comes out and says last week he doesn't want to be the DH. So now everything goes on hold. You can't have Bradley on the bench. You got to make a decision. You got to have some time to move forward and figure out where the pieces fit.
Big deal to me also, because the longer he waits, the more I'm inclined to think there's other people in the mix for this potentially. The Arizona Diamondbacks want him back. We know there's another team that's made him a 5-year offer. The longer the Red Sox allow him to sit, the more other teams start to swoop in and say, hey, we'll let you play the outfield. Hey, we'll give you that sixth year. Or, hey, we'll give you a higher annual value than the Red Sox would. This is a big deal. If this is the one guy that you need more than anybody, which is all you've said, Rich, then it needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Do you think that they're just playing a game here with Boras by saying 5 years, and they're assuming that at some point they're going to have to compromise by adding the six because he's going to want 7?
No, because I think they would have done it by now, and he's not going to budge.
Well, he's only saying he wants 6 now, so...
He's not going to budge. He's not going to budge.
Question 5, big deal, little deal, no deal, little hockey talk.
Yeah.
The Vegas Golden Knights might have to change their team name, trademark rules with the U.S. Military Academy, the Army.
Yeah.
They don't like the fact that the Golden Knights are interfering with their Golden Knight parachute team, so... Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I find it hard to believe they're going to have to change their name, but if they do, it is a humongous deal. That's millions and millions on top of millions of dollars in bogus advertising now. You're going to have to change that.
Change
jerseys.
Everything.
I mean, you're going to have to rebrand the team.
Think of the collector's items things would be, though.
No, it's a huge deal.
It's like you got your Vancouver Grizzlies t-shirt. I'm surprised you don't.
I don't have one. No, I don't have one.
Unbelievable.
No, I think it's a big deal, too, for one of the reasons was what Arnie said. It's Army.
Yeah.
Arnie said is the fact that it's going to be a massive amount of money. That city's fallen in love with them mostly because of the fact that they win every night, which still astounds me. I can't imagine this is going to continue. But you know how much money is sunk into marketing, especially an expansion team. A huge amount of work. I was really surprised when their owner, Bill Foley, who graduated from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point back in the 60s, not only did he name them what he named them, which is a trademark infringement, I would think, at some point, that he had to do something about originally, but he also used the exact same colors. I mean, their uniforms look just like the Army uniforms in a lot of ways.
Is Wildcats trademark? Tigers? Bears?
I think that think it's a different story because it's the
animals,
armed forces.
They also don't have these other teams also don't have trademarks on those names themselves. The Army has Black Knights and Golden Knights. The Army has Black Knights trademark, but not Golden Knights. But Golden Knights is universally referred to as their parachute team. St. Rose College, College of St. Rose, which plays against St. Michael's,
yes,
they are the Golden Knights, and they have a trademark. And Vegas actually had to change their logo because it was too similar to St. Rose.
Little St. Rose.
Look at you.
So this has been a thing for a while now. So I'll say it's a big deal, but I do think it gets resolved where they won't have to change their
name. And UCF was the same situation with St. Rose, as I recall. I think they have the same name, too.
They're the Knights, though.
They are the...
Were they the Golden Knights?
Ooh, I think they're just the Knights.
Yeah,
they are the Golden
Knights. Two colleges, UCF and St. Rose, have Golden trademark. So, and St. Rose, in fact, opposed the filing, and this week they got a second extension for 60 days to file its opposition. So,
just take money from them. Just ask for money.
That's a big deal, man. If you're gonna completely turn that whole thing upside down, that's a lot of wasted money.
All right, we're going to finish out the hour with Clean Up Your Act, and I got a good one for this story. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go. To the Huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Hour number two, Matt Verderam. We'll start things off, NFL Director at fansided.com, as we get you ready for the Patriots and the Titans. First, though, time for Clean Up Your Act, Brady. Do we have music for Clean Up Your Act?
No, there's never been music for Clean Up Your Act.
Why don't you sing a little show tune?
Should we have music for Clean Up Your Act? Maybe, Rich? Maybe.
I'm trying to think of songs with the word clean or sweep or...
Well, while you're thinking of that, let me go first here.
Clean up her act.
Here's a great one for you. I can't tell you exactly why they need to clean up her act, but I'll do the best I can. I'm sure you saw this story, a youth basketball tournament in Cincinnati for kids under the age of 18.
Yeah. What's this, 100-2 or something?
No.
This is what was on their jerseys.
Yes. I'm not going to tell you the name of their team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the name of the back of the jerseys either, where they're supposed to have your real name.
Yeah, or your team, like Army does.
Right, they put nicknames on there. Both so offensive that they were thrown out of the league. So I can't. You know what? I don't even want to tell you what it said on the front of the jerseys or the back of the jerseys.
How young are these kids?
They're under 18, are they not?
They're under 18, but you could be 70 and it would be offensive.
Okay. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah.
And their coaches thought it was probably funny.
Coach thought he was either funny or he's racist. So,
they were racist and sexist.
Yeah, racist, sexist, and just horrible in every way. So, I don't know. And it was like it's not a high school league. It's like some AAU tournament or something, and they thought that this would be funny in a way. Clean up your act. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to? I can't even tell you on the air, so you know it had to be offensive.
Wow, and we say just about anything.
Yeah,
on this
pretty
show.
Much. Exactly.
It's got to be pretty much X-rated.
Exactly.
So. All right, clean up your act. Le'Veon Bell. He has decided that if he has to get the franchise tag for a second year, he is going to either sit out the entire year or leave football altogether. He's 25 years old, and I understand he's a fantastic player and a game changer and one of the most important players on any team in any football game. But he has to let the process run through itself, and eventually he's going to get his massive contract. I think he's going to be careful when they start offering him 2 years at $30 million, which I think the Steelers did. When he's carrying the ball 300 times a year, he is a big injury concern.
Clean up your act. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Clean up your act, the TD Garden. Remember that game that the Bruins had postponed a week and a half ago against the Florida Panthers?
Yeah.
They have rescheduled it for April 8th at 7:30, but they've decided to bump the Celtics from their 7 o'clock time slot that day and make them play at 1. So the Celtics are going to have to play a 1 o'clock Thursday game now, or I'm sorry, 1 o'clock on Sunday rather than 7 o'clock on Sunday.
What, can they turn a court into ice that quickly?
Yes.
It's very cool. Have you ever seen the video?
I've seen the time lapse thing, but I didn't know they could do it that quickly.
Yes, they can do it that quickly. But come on, the Celtics get bumped out of their time.
Wow.
Out of their their prime time slot.
Well, that is my birthday, so why don't you send me and a listener down to the Boston doubleheader?
Yes, absolutely.
We can celebrate.
Done. Oh, by the way, my wife texted car wash for clean up your act.
I know. I was looking for it. We don't have it.
We could have car wash.
We don't have it.
We don't have it anymore.
Oh,
at least like right at my fingertips.
We should have car wash. That should be the number one song we have.
Look, I don't want to waste our time because we're already over. But here are the song. Here are our choices for the movie.
No.
That's not
we got that.
Work.
How about?
No.
Oh wait, this one.
There you go.
Rose
by the way, did you read is it Denise that said the Clarkson University mascot's also the Golden Knights?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to get that in there.
That's right.
Yep. We'll come back. Matt Verderin will stop on by. Let's take a look at the tape. NFL Direct at fansided.com next, right here on 101.3 is.
Just a heads up to anyone walking by our studio. We had Mexican last night. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, guys. Right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, NFL director at fansided.com. It's Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Oh, come on. You're a Chiefs fan.
You
get too well. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're never on 1 to 10. You're never a 10. You're permanently like a 5 or something like that. I mean, that must have been horrible for you.
On the 10 now because it's over. But it was, you know what the worst part of that is, as a Chiefs fan, you know, most franchises, they lose a game like that. That's the worst loss they've ever had, right? Like, that's not the worst loss the Chiefs have had in the last 5 years. Like, that doesn't even come close. That didn't even register on a Chiefs fan Richter scale. So, disappointing, yeah. Expected. Yeah, also, yes.
Oh, wait a minute. You had the lead at halftime. What was it, 21-3 at halftime? Yeah, you had to be saying to yourself, we're going to do it. We're finally going to do it. We're finally going to win at home. Yeah, you had to have been saying that to yourself.
No question at halftime. You said, okay, you know, throw up 18 points against the Titans team that scored 3 to this point. Like, you felt pretty good. But I will say this. I was on the phone with my father when Marcus Mariota caught his own pass for a touchdown. The second that happened, we both simultaneously said, oh, this is over. Any time, if you look at their history, the Chiefs have had just monumental breakdowns and collapses in the postseason. It usually comes with a play like that. And so when that happened, you could turn out the lights. It became a funeral at Arrowhead.
Oh, man, I would have given anything to be the third line party on that conversation as that's happening. Anyway, speaking of that, Matt, we had a conversation last week, and the topic was, would you rather be a fan of a team that chokes or is never in contention?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Yeah.
You know what? Speaking as a fan of a team who chokes, I would say that I would still rather have that, just because you get to enjoy the regular season. You get to enjoy some, you know, some occasional playoff success. But, you know, I think the downside of it, obviously, is you have hope. You're basically Charlie Brown kicking the football, and life is Lucy. So you just have to accept that.
Do you burn your jersey? You're not one of those that burns your Kansas City Chiefs jersey, do you?
No, I'm not an idiot. I already paid for the jersey.
Yeah.
So at that point, you might as well take $100 out and set it on
fire. Matt, the team that beat your Chiefs, the Titans, they're coming to Foxborough on Saturday. Look, we know about their run game. What can Marcus Mariota do in the pass game, if anything, on Saturday?
Not enough to win that game. Sometimes analysis is that simple. I think Delanie Walker, you know, he's an underrated tight end. He's a good player. He's a good route runner. And actually, he's a little bit quicker, I think, people give him credit for. You know, he could be a little bit of a mismatch, you know, Dante Hightower not being there, obviously. So that could be a little bit of an issue. But the Titans aren't receivers. They don't have anybody who can get open. Obviously, no 1,000-yard guys on that team. No 800-yard guys on that team. So I don't expect their receivers to give the Pats corners any real trouble. I think if the Titans are even going to keep it, you know, competitive, make it a game, it's going to be through running the ball, whether it be Henry or Mariota, and it's going to be converting third downs to Delanie Walker. The problem for the Titans is Bill Belichick, also an upset.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, you know, Patriots have faced Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson, Tyrod Taylor twice, Alex Smith, all mobile quarterbacks. They've lost two of those games. They have trouble. I was reading this in the Boston Globe. They've got trouble. They have trouble against mobile quarterbacks other than the obvious. Why are the Patriots having so much trouble with mobile quarterbacks out there?
Well, look, you know, you referenced the guys that they played before, and the reason they lost when Smith and Newton played against them was because both of them threw for well over 300 yards in the game. Neither one really torched them with the legs, especially Smith. He barely ran at all in the game, but the pass couldn't cover. Now, mind you, that was also those two games in the first 4 weeks of the year. And then New England started to figure it out. I think, look, part of the problem for New England against mobile quarterbacks is that the Pats don't have a very fast front seven. In fact, I would say they're one of the slower front sevens in the NFL. It's probably one of their few weaknesses that you can exploit. And so I think Mariota will run for a little bit in this game. I think he'll be agitating to some Pats fans. You know, he might extend some drives, extend some plays. But ultimately, you're going to have to make some plays and some big plays to win this game if you're Tennessee. You're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to need to be able to get it down the field. And that's where, frankly, I just don't see it happening. I don't know how Tennessee would be able to do that in this game.
And, Matt, on the other side of the ball for the Titans, I mean, you're talking about big plays. I mean, a pick six sure wouldn't hurt. It never does, but you're going to need something like that, some, you know, immediate lightning kind of play. But defensively, what's the most important group for the Titans this week?
The Titans are very good linebackers. I think that's something you have to watch out for. But Wesley Woodyard is a very good inside linebacker, led the team in tackles and also at five sacks, which is tremendous for that position. You know, and then Brian Arakpo is a veteran guy, but he still get after the quarterback. They have 45 sacks on the year, which is fifth most in the NFL. So they can get pressure. They run a lot of that zone blitz stuff with Dick LeBeau, their defensive coordinator. And one guy to know his name, Jarrell Casey, is their nose tackle. He is a very, very good player. He is not talked about much, but he is absolutely one of the better defensive linemen in the league. So New England's going to have to block. That is one thing Tennessee can do. They can get home. But the problem for them is their secondary is not good. Alex Smith had his way with them until Travis Kelce got hurt, and then everything changed. But Adoree Jackson is their first-round pick this year. He struggled a lot in coverage, so I expect Brady to look at him early and often.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com, with us here on The Huddle. Matt, let's move to the other games. What do you look for out of Atlanta and Philly?
That's going to be a game that I think Philadelphia can only win if they force a turnover. Look, Atlanta is coming in hot. They're playing very well. We're able to knock off the Rams out in L.A. The problem for Philadelphia is obvious. They don't have Carson Wentz, and Nick Foles has not been able to produce the last couple of weeks. You know, he looked awful early on against Dallas before he pulled in Week 17. He was terrible in Week 16 against a bad Raiders defense at home. The Eagles are going to have to run the ball in that game. And defensively, that front seven is going to have to take the game over. If they can't do that, Atlanta is going to move the ball well enough to win. They have nobody who can guard Julio Jones. And so I would look for Atlanta to find a way to win that game. Which, look, this game is the first time a number one seed has ever been an underdog in the divisional round. So, you know, that is all you need to know about what Philadelphia's dealing with going into this game.
No, no doubt about that. The Saints in Minnesota. Now, look, the Saints are on a roll. I thought they were lucky to get away with that victory. And they had a two-touchdown lead there, and they had to hang on for that one. Minnesota's defense, especially at home, so dang tough out there, Matt. What do you think about this one?
Only eight touchdowns allowed in eight home games this year. Minnesota
crazy.
Is excellent. Excellent. To me, is along with Jacksonville, the best defense in the NFL. They're good at all three levels. They can get pressure. They can cover. The linebackers are fast. They're absolutely an awesome unit. My pick has been the Saints to come out of the NFC now pretty much since October, so I'm going to stick with that. Look, I think the Saints are the most balanced team in the NFL. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. And that's the thing we saw last week. Carolina did a great job bottling up Kamara and Ingram. In fact, they rushed for less than two yards a carry. I think they only had 41 yards per team. But Breeze threw for well over 300 yards and won the game. Yeah. And so that's what makes the Saints so tough. I think that game is going to be the best game of the entire playoff.
Wow.
I think whoever wins is going to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That was my next question to you. Is that the best game of the weekend? It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
What about?
I mean, it absolutely is.
And what about Pittsburgh and Jacksonville? I mean, Man, that you just look at Bortles and company last week against Buffalo. How are they ever going to do anything against Pittsburgh?
And how did Roethlisberger throw 5 interceptions the first time ever? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and, see, and that's the whole thing. Like, I think I've had all of Duval County screaming at me for a month now.
Yeah.
You don't respect Jacksonville. Well, I don't respect that. Look, I respect their defense. They have a tremendous defense. The problem is Jacksonville can't score against good defenses, and they don't have a quarterback who can throw the ball. He threw for less than 100 yards this past week. He threw for 95 when they beat Pittsburgh. And that's all fine and good if you pick Roethlisberger off 5 times and score on 2 of them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guess that that's not going to happen this weekend. The only way Jacksonville wins this game is if Fournette runs the ball for 150-plus, and if Roethlisberger just cannot find a way to win the game on offense. I actually think Le'Veon Bell is going to be the main factor in that game, simply because Jacksonville's not been good against the run. And so if I'm Pittsburgh, I am just pounding the football. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be an ugly game, but I think Pittsburgh's going to win.
Matt, we'll get you out of here on this. What surprised you most about the teams that are in the offseason so far, whether it be a coach hiring, a coach firing, a coach who stayed on a staff? What surprised you most?
You know, a few things. One thing I would say is I'm surprised it seems like the Giants and the Lions are having a bidding war over Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Patricia, the Pats defense has not exactly been a beacon of sunshine. I know they've been better as the year's gone on, but they also have the benefit of always playing from ahead with Brady. So, I don't know. If I were the Giants and the Lions, I'd probably be looking at some other candidates. That said, I'm surprised. I thought that Matt Nagy might not be able to get a job after that collapse of Kansas City. Apparently, he had offers from the Colts and the Bears, and he went with the Bears. So I actually, though, on the record, I think it's a great hire. I think he's going to be a really good head coach. But I was surprised that he got that job so quickly after what was a pretty ugly loss for both he and the Chiefs.
All right. Matt Verderame, he is the NFL director of Fansided.com. Go ahead and check it on out. Matt, enjoy the games this weekend. Looking forward to it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks to Matt for stopping on. But I'm ready to go. Let's get these games on in. Real quick, though, Tough for a Tire text line. Alex in Moncton, this is for you, Rich. Says, Rich, I couldn't disagree with you more.
All right.
You said Bell has to let it run its course. No, he doesn't. He could, by all means, sit out. Owners.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Owners have been misusing the franchise tag for a long time. Players can affect change that by just doing what he's told. Matter of fact, he must know something because about 10 minutes ago, a story just came out saying Le'Veon Bell threatens to sit out next season if the Steelers franchise
okay,
tag him.
Okay, yes, he does have an option. He can sit out and not play. I mean, okay, but then you don't get the $15 million a year for playing football, correct?
Why is that? By the way, is that a terrible thing for the players? Didn't they agree on the franchise tag and all that stuff? And you are getting paid an enormous amount of money. You're guaranteed to be, within the top 3 or top 5%, whatever it is.
Of your position.
Right, yeah. But usually that comes out to the top 3 players. So what is exactly the problem? Because there's no such thing as a guaranteed contract in the NFL anyway, so you're getting your one-year deal. Cousins made a boatload of money off this thing.
Yeah, the problem is that the players want the long-term security. And
is right.
I understand what you're saying, yeah, that 4 years, $60 million doesn't mean 4 years, $60
million. It's like 1 year, whatever.
No, you can still get guarantees. You can get 4 years, $100 million with 65 guaranteed. You can still get a guaranteed contract.
Right.
It's never as good as what the number says, but there's still guaranteed money in the NFL.
And is that money as big as like when Cousins gets promised $20 million 1 year, $23 million the following year or something like that? This is why Jimmy Garoppolo had to get traded, because they couldn't franchise tag him because they'd have to pay him like $25 million to be a backup. Nobody was going to do that.
No, I understand Bell is not happy about it, but isn't it the system that they've put in place that allows the system to make the money that they choose by franchising
him? This is what bothers me about the players. They complain about the franchise tags. They complain about Thursday night football. They've complained about a lot of stuff. This is stuff they've implemented in the game because of the money. You know, they get an extra $100,000 on top of their salary for playing Thursday night football. I don't know if you know
that. Is that right?
You didn't know that?
No.
It is true, yes.
It is true. Now, isn't it funny how all of a sudden if we said we'll take away the $100,000, they wouldn't like that. All of a sudden, it's a different story. But, yeah, they get an extra $100,000 per person.
Can you imagine us deciding that? I know this is ridiculous, but how about since it's Thursday, we get an extra grand for doing the show today?
No, but you laugh. That's what exactly happened. They said, because of your inconvenience of playing. No, you're laughing because of playing Thursday night.
Inconvenience of sitting in a recliner watching everyone else on Sunday.
The player said, look, you want Thursday football? Instead of being men and standing up to the owners and saying, no, that's not going to happen because you're putting us at risk. They said, fine, we'll give you Thursday football. Give us back $100,000 each. And the owners said, fine. The owners said, fine. So who's to blame here? Is it the owners or is it the players that said, all you have to do is give us $100,000?
No, I mean, the owners are clearly just throwing money at all situations because they want to grow the league and make more and more money.
Yeah, and the players, the next time any of this stuff can get changed is in the next collective bargaining agreement, and it's 2020 or something like that, or before the 2020 season, so it's still a couple of years off. But expect there to be a collision course between the players' union and the league. That's what we've been hearing, that there will be that collision course.
All right, real quick, we want to thank everybody that came out to Trivia Night last night. Massive success. We had a lot of fun, even though Rich didn't have nearly as many answers as he thought he was going to be. Yeah. Too hard for you, huh, Rich?
When sports questions are too hard, I know I'm in trouble.
Yeah, we're going to be doing it every Wednesday. And our buddy Jason, who runs the bowling alley. There's a bowling
store.
Pro Shop is going to make us a 101.3 bowling bowl, which I'm totally looking forward to.
I wonder how hard that is to do. It looks like it difficult.
No, it isn't, because they make like NFL bowling balls or NBA. I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah, bowling
it's
balls
awesome.
Are really cool.
Oh, they're
especially
awesome.
Especially when they knock pins down.
I just think of Fred Flintstone for some reason.
Twinkle Toes Flintstone.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. Yeah, he's the...
Oh, I love the Flintstones.
Not bad for a 20-year-old.
He's the bowler. I mean, that bowling goes back to Fred Flintstone. That's,
and why do you think if the three of us bowled, Brady would be like doing everything possible to win and be ultra competitive?
Oh yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And
are you a bowler?
Because he got a split.
Are you a bowler?
No, I'm not very good.
You're not very good. No. I think I could maybe bowl 130 if I'm lucky. 130, 140. If I'm really on it, you know what I'm saying? If I'm
well, it's like
really
golf. It's just
going.
Random. You know, one day you have this unbelievable lights out performance, and the next you stink.
Brady doesn't know that there used to be a real popular game show called Bowling for Dollars.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure.
No.
Oh, Chick Hearn, I think, was the one-time host. And there was another host of it, too. I forget. Another big name.
I just remember growing up in Boston, it was Candle Pins for Cash with Bob Gamir.
Oh, let me tell you, Bowling for Dollars. I mean, that they had local shows like that, national shows. I used to watch that. That was a good show, was it not, man? That was awesome. Bowling for Dollars.
Back when
I love
we actually
that.
Watched television.
Yeah, exactly. And now you just go ahead and, you know,
listen to the radio.
Netflix and do stuff like that.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Saturday, tell everybody where you're going to be, because obviously that's the big game. And Patriots and Titans, where are you going to be?
We're going to be out at McGillicuddy's Five Corners in Essex, thanks to our friends at Coors Light. We're going to have a ton of swag, a ton of raffles. Our friends at Love Vermont 802 are going to be there. They've got some awesome t-shirts. So we got a lot of giveaways, a lot of raffles. We'll watch the game and... Look, if you're into good luck and karma, we watched round one of the playoffs, so the first Patriot playoff game at that same place last year, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So let's keep that good juju going and come back again.
Look at you. You're very superstitious. I know you. What's coming up next segment? What are we doing?
The Celtics, they're in London. They're about to wrap up a victory. How did they get there, and what do we make of this trip to London? All that next.
All right, that's coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go
ESPN.
The commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, you can get in the Town Fair Tire text line. Give us your score on the Patriot game this weekend, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. I think the majority of our listeners have the Patriots not only winning, but in a blowout. Nobody has it like within a field goal game, a touchdown game, or anything like that, which I think is dangerous, guys, anyway, because, as I said, when you have bad weather, a team coming off a victory, they've got confidence, they run the ball well, and they've got a mobile quarterback, which the Patriots do have trouble with. I'm not saying they're going to pull off the upset, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't.
I mean, it's so hard to say with the Patriots. But the one thing you could possibly look at for New England is they might be looking ahead to what we assume
no
will
looking
be Pittsburgh.
Ahead. No, not looking ahead.
They're not looking
no,
ahead.
No, they're not looking
over
ahead.
Over Tennessee at
there's
home?
No, there's a playoffs. There's not looking over anything.
Did you hear Tom Brady today? He wouldn't even talk about his documentary. He's like, I'm only answering questions about Tennessee.
It's on Tennessee.
Tom Brady is the most boring person.
He might be.
To interview. I would not want to have – it's hard to say this because Boston's the number one media market in the country. I don't think I would want to work there. Like, I don't think I would have any desire to work in Boston because there's just nothing to talk about.
Let me ask you this.
Everything to talk about, no one to talk about it with.
Would Tom Brady be a bigger star or just as big as Michael Jordan if he was just as abrasive? Is that the wrong word I'm looking for? If he was just as talkative?
It doesn't have as much personality.
To me, Brady is safe. He's the ultimate safe guy. He doesn't say anything. He does it on purpose.
Michael Jordan is global. I mean, people are still to this day, he's like Tiger Woods, global. I mean, people around the world know these guys. People around the world don't know Tom Brady. No.
Really?
He's not as global as Michael Jordan.
You don't think he's the first football player that anyone in Europe or anywhere else or Mexico or any of those places thinks of?
Well, no.
Who is?
I'm just talking about as athletes in general. I mean, like Usain Bolt, I think, is more a global. A Michael Jordan, as I told you. I think if Tom Brady would have more personality, he'd be right up there with the Jordans. Well, I don't know if he cares about that.
Well, I think Brady's a little more frustrating than say, a Belichick, because Belichick just blatantly is a jerk at press conferences. Brady tries to come across as a good guy, but never is able to. He doesn't say anything while he's trying to say something.
Yeah, he's nice. He talks to you, but he doesn't give you anything.
Right.
Like I said, we've played 40-second clips of Brady, and you're not even sure exactly what he said when you go back and listen to it. I would find it very frustrating to never be able to.
All right, I know we're going to get to something. It's a couple first-time callers, and they're coming in real quick, so I want to get to a couple of them. One says, according to an article by Mike Florio on NBC Sports Pro Football Talk, 132,000 is the approximate increase per player for Thursday night football. So I said about 100,000. So
damn.
Is that an increase of 130? So you mean, are they saying 232,000 or am I misreading that?
Sounds to me like they're making 132,000.
All right, so 130, that's
mind-boggling.
Is that a lot of money for somebody to make $10 million a year?
I understand for the average Joe like us doing radio, that's mind-boggling. But for them, it probably doesn't make any difference. And they'd probably look back on it and
say,
they're probably saying, you know what, it's not worth it.
I'd
still rather not make that money.
If you were making $5 million a year or $10 million a year.
Right, what's $100,000?
First of all, $10 million a year, really all that's going in your pocket is maybe $4. I know that's still a lot of money, but between taxes and agents and this and that and this, you're lucky to get $3 or $4 million. So I would probably take the 132,000. And hey, guess what? That's college. That's like 2 years of college for your kids or something like that. First time texter, Titans 20, Patriots 17.
Wow, that'll be an exciting one.
Says Tom Brady leaves in the first quarter with injuries and the Patriots have nobody to put in a quarterback for the rest of the game. You know, for the Patriots to lose, Tom Brady does not have to get hurt. I want you to know that. He doesn't have to get hurt. They can still lose the game.
So he's saying that Brian Hoyer isn't going to show up for the game?
Yes.
Is that what he's saying? Deion Lewis is going to be the quarterback?
Brian Hoyer is still on the roster. So.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't mean they have to use him. You know what I mean?
Oh, let's hope they don't.
Brady, what's going on with the Celtics? Rich was crying when they were down by 20 in the first half.
Gosh.
Celtics just won 114-103, a early start in London. They erase a 22-point deficit
to beat the
76ers.
In minutes. We started the show at 4 o'clock. They're down 20. It was 47-27. And by 5 o'clock, they were ahead by 17 points.
Jaylen Brown led the way. He had 21 points. Kyrie Irving had 20. Marcus Morris had 19. They get some double digits out of Tatum. Horford continued to play well in terms of rebounding. I think he had 9 rebounds.
Yeah, he almost had a triple-double.
Yeah, so the Celtics, they just keep on kicking here, keep on rolling.
Is this a special game for the viewers? I mean, first of all, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a Thursday. If you're even the biggest diehard Celtic fan, did you say I'm leaving work early so I can go home and watch the game against Philadelphia and because they're playing in London? I don't think so.
Right. This is one of those situations. Sometimes you see, well, certainly with football, where they go overseas or wherever they go and they play the game at a inconvenient time. A convenient time for the locals that are at the game because they want to sell the game to the locals. And that's certainly the case here. You can't tell me anybody was watching that game today. The only reason we were is because it's in front of us here in the studio.
I may be wrong. How many people watch locally the Celtic game? I mean, roughly. Would you say, is it hundreds of thousands or millions? I don't even know. Hundreds of thousands?
Locally here?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah, today.
I would say not many.
Because I think more people watched the Ball family playing Lithuania. Did you know they got like 200,000 clicks on their game?
Was the first game today?
No, they had a game.
LaMelo didn't play yet.
No, they both played.
They both played.
They scored 29 points total. The older one had 19. The younger one had 10. And they had 29.
I thought that was today.
No, they had like 200,000 clicks in the middle of the day. People went ahead and wanted to see what the Ball kids were doing.
It's incredibly
more,
sad.
I think more kids.
Sad.
More people clicked on the Balls to see the game than maybe watch the Celtic game. I don't know. That's crazy.
What a country.
Unbelievable. Look,
I don't care that much about basketball in London. I think it's okay. I know that David Stern started it and Adam Silver wants to globalize the game. But
right.
I think you've already done that, right? Like, and Britain is a small country. Mm-hmm. Britain is a small area. Even the whole United Kingdom is small. You've already got a foothold in France. You've got a foothold in Germany. You've got a foothold in China.
China's the big one, right?
Yeah, you've got a foothold in China. It's the biggest country in the world.
Although, have Chinese basketball players come to the NBA since
Yao Ming?
Yao Ming. But I'm saying since...
He's like Michael Jordan. No, I'm serious.
He was, but...
He still is.
But how many Chinese players are now in the NBA? That's dropped off considerably.
It's not so much about Chinese players coming to the NBA. Right. It's about them liking...
China.
I mean, obviously, it's a huge market to succeed in.
You've already got... And then you've also got a number of the Spanish countries. When you look at Spain and Argentina and Brazil, you've got a number of these places where they play basketball and play it very, very well. And then you... Turkey and Chile, all these places. I don't know that you need Britain.
Just a little side story in this. I play basketball when I go to Los Angeles. I play at UCLA, and there's this lawyer I play with who's retired, and he lives half the year in Pacific Palisades, California, the other half of the year in Paris, right? He's just a rich guy that's kind of retired. He plays pickup ball in Paris. I go, what's it like playing pickup ball there? He goes, if they knock you to the ground, they immediately help you up if you're an old guy. They totally respect the old people there. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Man, I'm so sorry, sir.
You wouldn't know what to do in
that
league.
I'd be like the king of the court, to be honest with you.
But look, as far as basketball goes, no question about it. I mean, it is the international reach has become enormous, and it's been fairly recently. The Yao Ming thing was obviously huge, but the NBA right now is the most multicultural sport of the major U.S. sports.
Baseball.
The Celtics have 7 people on their roster that weren't born in America.
I'll tread lightly here. I think that could end up costing the NBA in popularity. And I told you other leagues do limit the amount of foreigners you can have on their team. I brought that up, and of course you guys thought that I'm some type of bad racist or whatever you want to call me, but that could end up hurting the NBA because of so many foreigners in the league.
Well, you saw the reaction when they drafted Porzingis, the Knicks did. People flipped out.
Yeah, but they love him now.
Oh, they sure do. But at the time, I think one of the reasons they didn't like him is because he was a mystery man. He was just this big, tall, skinny white guy that nobody knew anything about, and look at him now.
I don't think so, Arnie, because at least right now, we're not at the point where a majority of the best players in this league are non-American. We're not at that point yet.
No, but there's a lot in the league that are European.
There are, but I think the only time you get in trouble with the popularity is when they start saying, okay, quote, they, meaning the foreigners, have taken over our game. I think that's the only time where you would be in trouble. And look, Porzingis is there. The Greek Freak is there. Dirk was there at one point. Outside of that, though, at least off the top of my head, I'm not thinking massively about the foreign influence. I'm thinking about LeBron and Curry and Klay Thompson and Durant and Westbrook. All those guys are American.
Joe, and where's that Ticonderoga?
Ticonderoga.
Really? I was going to get that. Why is Rich bitter about the ball boys playing overseas? Is it because of their father's anthems?
Yes. It's because I don't think it matters, and I'm just, I am bitter. I don't think LeVar Ball has a place in our conscience these days. I don't understand it, and I'm sick of hearing about him.
Well, I just want to say one thing, that when Steve Kerr and some of the other NBA coaches say that they want to boycott ESPN if they continue talking about the Balls because LeVar Ball took a shot at Luke Walton, I think that's unacceptable by the NBA coaches. I don't like to be told what I can and can't be talked about. If I want to talk about LeVar Ball for a week and nobody wants to listen, that's my prerogative. Right. Don't threaten me about what I can and cannot talk about. That's what bothers me about
that. Well, it's a catch-22 with this situation because you have these media outlets who realize what butters their bread. And right now you put the words LeVar Ball in a picture of him courtside screaming and ranting and yelling, and that works. It's clickbait, and it works. You get a million hits immediately, millions of hits.
But that shows you that people do care.
Right. I understand they care, but there's just something inside of me that says it's ridiculous that we care about the father of some basketball player.
Does Tom Brady's father not speak? Did Richard Williams, father
of... Are you comparing Tom Brady's dad to LeVar Ball?
No, but when Tom Brady's father speaks, if he says something, we'd be playing that soundbite.
I mean, of course, that's because he doesn't just blab on about nothing and sell his brand to everybody in the world every 5 seconds.
But remember, when Giselle came on in the summer and said, Tom Brady had concussions that we don't talk about, we spent 3 days on it.
Yep,
she's not a football player.
What about Serena and Venus's father? Remember, I just gave his name.
Richard Williams.
And Giselle's
Williams.
The same thing. I don't care.
What about Todd Moretich's father?
But I'm saying I don't want to hear what Giselle has to say about football. She's not playing.
Well, she made the biggest comment that we've been talking about even to this day. Remember what she said, Russ?
No.
Come on.
She said Tom Brady has had concussions.
No. After the game. He can't throw it and catch it, right?
Oh, yeah, a couple years ago, yeah.
Oh my God, that still lives in infamy today over what she said about something like that.
But this is just my personal thing. I don't care what LeVar Ball has to say. He's just the father of a basketball player, just like everyone else in the NBA has a father who shuts up and lives his life like a normal human being.
Why do you think he's so polarizing than to a lot of people? Kind of like the Kardashians. Why do
absolutely you think, like
why
the Kardashians.
Why are they polarizing? I'm not a Kardashian fan.
I just have a personal problem with people who never saw a camera they didn't want to jump in front of. And that's just the way I am.
But that doesn't make, I mean, that doesn't explain why the Kardashians have millions and millions of viewers.
Don't you think that's a little bit of a concern that that's what our kids are watching now and being influenced by? I mean, who... Really?
Well, there's a concern or not, though.
The other thing that's interesting, though, a guy like Steve Kerr, who is generally very likable.
Yes,
I like Steve Kerr a lot, but it's very, very hypocritical. You say, don't give LeVar Ball, a platform to talk about this and spread his message. I didn't ask Steve Kerr to come on and talk about politics every 5 minutes, Kerr giving me a political, viewpoint all the time. So that's pot calling the kettle black. You don't want LeVar Ball to talk because you don't like what he has to say. Well, no one asks you for political opinions a lot of times either.
Steve is very political.
I understand that. His dad, I get that. Yeah.
His dad, but, in case people don't know, his dad was assassinated. He was a professor. He was assassinated at American University in Beirut in an elevator. They just came up and shot him in his head.
But every single website you go to, do you hear from Steve Kerr's father like you do LeVar Ball?
No, he's dead.
Or anything to do with Steve Kerr talking politics. I can't even check my fantasy teams anymore because I can't get through all the clutter about LeVar Ball.
Yeah. And look, that's what people want to see. Like they want to see the Kardashians or Caitlyn Jenner.
I don't know what's more pathetic, LeVar Ball or the fact that I check fantasy teams every day.
I know you wanted to get a little bit of the JT Martinez. We're going to get to that also, Brady, and a little bit more on the Celtics. We got some Bruins stuff. We'll give you, 20 seconds on the Bruins, Rich?
Please.
All right, 10 seconds. How about that? We don't want to go too far on that. All that coming up next right here on 101.3 is...
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
I think I could be a good NBA ref. I really do.
What?
I think I could be a good NBA referee.
What does that have to do with anything?
I just, because we were talking about the NBA, and there's a problem with, Silver, and now the players, obviously, and they're trying to go ahead and get this settled because it's getting actually worse and worse. I don't know if the players are getting more overly sensitive with the officiating or if the officiating really has gotten down to the point where it's just really that bad. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of the both, but it's getting to a boiling point now between the referees. And who was it? James Harden complaining that there was only two referees?
It's not so much I think the refereeing is bad as it is that the referees have such a short fuse now.
It is pretty bad.
And the technicals are up and that guys don't feel like they can talk to the refs anymore. I don't know that it's so much that they're bad. It's that they have such quick triggers on the tee.
You know what's crazy is I don't think they know all the rules. Because I got a feeling
if you were there.
No, but if I told an NBA ref, here's a test, here's 200 questions, you think he should be able to get 100%, should he not?
Right.
I mean, that's his job.
And the thing I couldn't believe out of that article I read is that it said, is this true that refs make an annual salary of $2 million?
I can't imagine. I know they do.
Can't be right.
I know they do other stuff. They'll do college games. They'll do three games in a week. So I don't know that's more than the NFL referees,
it's between 150,000 and 550,000.
All right, because that story, yeah. I saw something about $6.5 million. I said that can't possibly be.
Dan
right.
in Winooski said, "Arnie, you're comparing occasional commentary from people to Ball, who just wants to be famous.
Exactly,
it's like a train wreck. That's why people watch. We like chaos.
Yep.
Team Rich on this one. Ball is toxic. If it bleeds, it leads. Clicks make money."
Yep.
What exactly has he said that's so toxic? Other than stuff we've said all the time, where you never said, "Oh, they've lost the locker room," or "the team gave up." Any team, if a team's down 47-0 and they score another touchdown to make it 54-0, do we not say, "Well, they've rolled over and given up," right? Do we not say that?
Well, apparently toxic is the correct word for what he's doing to the LA Lakers, because he's so huge over there, and every word that comes out of his mouth, everybody just can't get there fast enough with a camera and a microphone. And that is causing some issues, because that's all anyone's talking about. Well, LeVar Ball said Luke Walton shouldn't be coaching. He's not fit to coach his son. All of a sudden, it's the lead story in every single thing you hit. But why does that matter that LeVar Ball thinks that Luke Walton can't coach? Who cares?
That is the case everywhere, Rich, and it doesn't matter.
Right. But the coach for the high school kid, or the father of a player who's mad at the coach because he's not getting enough time playing, that doesn't get all over the media.
Look, Miko Grimes. Remember Brent Grimes, the defensive back? He's got the crazy wife, Miko Grimes. We've talked about her crazy comments before. She was talking about talking junk about the Raiders and Derek Carr and protest kneeling.
The owner of Tampa.
Yeah.
And we fell into her trap, and it worked.
So it's not just LeVar Ball. Sensationalism is something that people are interested in, and it's always been that way.
Zach in Bristol said, I agree with Rich. I'm sick of LeVar Ball. He's a loser with talented kids. Also, off topic, Brady's awesome. You guys should put his name in the title. Wow, but Brady's been getting ripped all week long, so I felt a great
thank you, Zach.
That felt good.
That makes me feel good, because, again, there was a guy the other day who said it was horrible. So
it's just the Brady Show and the rest, like Gilligan's Island?
I want you to know something. He's in Lithuania right now, so why – you know, he's making waves. I don't even know how many miles away, and he's making waves here by saying stuff. That's incredible.
No, really. But he's, as it was pointed out, I'm not sure. Oh, it was John from Charlotte who said Tom Brady's dad isn't trying to run a shoe business off of his son.
You know,
and that's exactly what it is. Have you ever seen LeVar Ball wearing Big Baller Brand on his shirt?
I want to say something to you.
Ever.
Why does everybody get upset because they pulled the kids out of school? I had a co-host. I'll give you the name. You know Gary Bender, right? The play-by-play announcer?
I don't.
Yes.
Oh, okay, the play-by-play announcer.
Yeah, he's an old-timer.
I was good friends with his son, Trey, and his wife, Amy. They pulled their kid out of school at the age of, I want to say, about 10, maybe less than that, and she became an actress. She had her own show on Disney. She just couldn't have time to go to school like a regular person, so she had a tutor. So why is it okay for her to become an actress, have TV shows, but the Ball kids can't go play in Lithuania and try to become NBA players?
Because I've never heard of Amy Bender or whatever you just said, because it isn't all over the internet 5,000 times day.
Well, she's probably just as famous as the Ball kids were, but LeVar
I've never
just makes
heard
it,
of her.
Right, no, but I'm saying LeVar just makes it, you know,
right.
More.
And look, I give him credit for playing the game. He is very good at milking the media for exactly what he wants. It's media's fault that they fall into the trap.
What did you want to get? I haven't talked more about a person that is not on the Red Sox or anybody that I care about more than JT Martinez, to be honest with you.
By the way, let's get it right
first. You keep saying JT.
Did I say JT?
Every time you say
really?
JT. Yep.
Oh, well, too damn bad.
It's all right.
And you know what's so funny?
Nobody
even knows, because they don't even know who JD Martinez is, but go ahead.
They will.
Yeah. JD Martinez is the free agent slugger the Red Sox are supposed to be trying to get here. They've offered him a 5-year deal. He's reportedly willing to stay unsigned until into spring training in hopes of a 7th year or at least a 6th year in a deal. How worried, annoyed, concerned are you by this development?
I'm not concerned anymore. It's Scott Boras. I really don't think, and I know you guys love Martinez. Again, I'll get somebody else. You're not going to convince me that I can't get anybody else, whether it's free agency. And I know you already told me, you and Buster Olney, there's nobody in AAA, AA, single A, rookie league, or half a rookie league that I could bring up. I find that hard to believe, that out of 200 kids, I can't find anybody.
You can't find anybody that can hit 45 home runs.
I can't find anybody in anybody else's AAA team too to bring on up or trade for. So, I mean, I find that crazy.
Well,
I mean,
first of all,
it's disgusting.
You keep saying that every day, but the fact is just what Brady just said. There is nobody in Pawtucket or Portland or Lowell or anywhere else in the Red Sox organization
Lake
that they're
going to
bring up that's going to suddenly hit 45 home runs, drive in 100 runs, and hit over 300.
You don't know that, though, because you guys said this. You didn't want to bring Devers up. You know, you didn't even want to. No, you didn't.
Rich wasn't even here.
Okay.
Rich was going to say, I was in Connecticut.
Brady didn't want to bring up Devers.
I didn't want to rush him through the system and count on him to carry you to the playoffs.
Right. But putting him seventh, eighth, ninth in the order and let him. I mean, all I expected out of him was to play decent infield and hit 240. That's all I expect. The fact that he hit like he did was frosting on the cake.
Aaron Judge doesn't exist in everyone's minor league system, Arnie. So, no. Look, they do need.
Why not?
They do need J.D. Martinez. They finished last in the league in home runs.
Who was Judge before he became Judge? He had a lot of strikeouts. He batted like 190 or something like that.
He struck out a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to go 7 years for J.D. Martinez. He's 30 years old. Right. Okay. I'm not going to do that. But 5 years with a creative option for that sixth year where it's an easily attainable vesting option or something. And a vesting option means you put a couple incentives in, and if he reaches them, he's guaranteed that year. So give him the 5 years guaranteed. Give him a pretty attainable sixth year so that if he's still performing, he's going to hit it. Then he gets his sixth year. And if he's earned that sixth year, then that means that he's given you something up to that point. Yeah. Just give him the sixth year vesting option. Let's be done with it.
You know what the problem is here? If you give him all that stuff, if you put Martinez in the lineup, where is he going to be overall on the grand scheme of things when it talks about important players? He won't even be in the top five or six. And now he's going to have probably the best contract, okay? Now you've created a problem here. I'm not going to give somebody that much money in that many years when he's not more important than two pitchers, a reliever, Devers, Benintendi, and I don't know, and who else? I just can't do that. Well, we got to put priorities.
Yeah, but I don't know that J.D. Martinez, if he goes into the middle of the Red Sox lineup, isn't more important than Rafael Devers. I mean, I think
Rafael Devers is way more important. To the future of the Red Sox.
Okay, to the future, absolutely.
Of course.
Oh, no question. I thought you were just talking about next year.
Next year, the year after, and the year after that, and the year after that, Rich.
You plug in Martinez in the four spot or the three spot or whatever in that batting order, and you are expecting something out of him, especially if you're giving him $27 million.
I'm going to talk about this in Champlain Valley Game Night. This proves my point, where you always need to be developing your farm system. And Arnie hates it.
Yes, I
but
do.
Teams aren't giving big money to a 31-year-old or 30-year-old free agent because they're saying, no, we want to get younger. We want to get more athletic. We want a guy with a more varied skill set as opposed to guys who just hit home runs, which is what Martinez is largely. He is just a power hitter. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't run. So teams are looking for prospects that can do all of it. The Red Sox have none of those. And then finally, you would say, well, the Marlins are having a fire sale. Let's go trade for one of their young outfielders like Christian Yelich, who's already developed. Well, you don't have the prospects to go get him either.
Do you think the Sox front office is a little gun-shy because of the David Price situation?
They need to be. They're gun-shy because of the luxury tax.
They should be gun-shy also because of Betroya. Look, we talked baseball, basketball, and football. Let me go ahead and read you on the Town Fair Tire text line. Alex in Moncton, I don't blame Ball for being a clown. I blame the sports media for giving him a stage.
Absolutely.
So that's all people are texting him about. It's still LeVar Ball.
I agree with
Shane in Burlington, I think people dislike LeVar because of his dangerous precedent he sets. More and more parents/family members will use unearned leverage to enter the time light the longer the ball's charade continues.
Limelight.
Did I say time light? I should learn how to read. But anyway, that's all people could talk about is LeVar Ball. That's all. I mean, we just talked baseball, football, basketball, and we're still getting, and they're still coming in about LeVar Ball.
Right. So it's exactly why the rest of the country is doing what they're doing.
Brady Robin Heinsberg says J.D. Martinez equals Pablo Sandoval.
I think J.D. Martinez is much better than that.
Wow.
Pablo Sandoval was a 1660 guy hitting 270 when he signed that deal.
All right, Go ahead. Give me 5 seconds on the Bruins. There you go.
There's nothing to tell you. They haven't played in 7 months,
way
and they're not playing till Saturday.
You've gone way too
Brad Marchand's the only all-star.
Yeah,
that's what
ridiculous.
We were getting at.
How does David Pastrnak not make it? How does Tuukka Rask not make it?
Because all
the Lightning. He's played for the last 2 months.
Because all the Lightning players made it, that's why.
All right, when we get back, last story standing, I got a great story about a lawsuit that you're going to love. You want to hear this? That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and win. It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. It started with coffee. Then it went to boxes of pasta.
Pasta.
Now there's a major lawsuit involving Junior Mints. You know the candy Mints?
Yes, I eat them by the handfuls.
Don't get them inside the guy's stomach like
right,
in Seinfeld.
Right, like in Seinfeld. Big Seinfeld episode. Well, back in October, Biola Daniels of New York City filed a lawsuit against the Tootsie Roll industry because she claimed the Junior Mints she bought in New York was approximately 40% air.
40% sued.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, two more people have joined the lawsuit. They point out if you bought a 5-ounce box of Milk Duds, it has 23% of slack-filled air. You know, it's empty.
Right.
While a 3.5-ounce box of Junior Mints is 43% empty. What the hell is going on here?
You know what? As ridiculous and potentially frivolous as that is, they're not wrong.
No, they're not. Not wrong.
I always notice it in chips.
That was my next sentence.
Really?
Have you ever bought a bag of chips?
Really?
I bet 55% of that bag is full of chips.
Yep. I agree.
Yep.
They say that the New York City claims to have bought it was a 4.13-ounce box of Junior Mints. But again, I think there was only like a little bit more than 2 ounces of candy or something in there. So.
You know what? That's what I love about soda. You could see it. It's clear. It's right there. Well, it's not. Soda's not clear. The bottle is. You could see it right there. It's right up to the top. You get your money's worth.
You know, if you go do the, I've seen this before where people have done the test where you buy a large soda, medium soda, and a small soda. And the difference is very small. Yeah. You could barely even tell, see the difference. It looks much different, but it really isn't.
No,
you know what I mean?
Because they make thinner bottles.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's optical illusions.
It totally is It's like when they bring out special plates when you go to a restaurant, and you're like, wow, this is a big portion. No, the plates are smaller than what it is.
American marketing at its finest.
Yes. The other thing that you always notice is when you go to a place where it's not free refills, they give you a drink with 3/4 ice.
It's all ice.
Oh,
just
yes.
So that you'll,
yes.
Just so that you'll
no,
get
No, I don't
more.
Play that game. I say no ice. I get no ice out there. But the chips, I haven't noticed the chips. I noticed like pretzels and stuff.
Oh,
but,
yeah, same thing.
Yeah,
same
but thing. But the candy, the Junior Mints, get out of here.
Now that
man.
There's nothing in the downstairs machine that I can order, since you've
that
made them all
too
fruit
funny.
And vegetable based, I
that
haven't
is
noticed.
Too funny. Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night? I am going to make you stay the whole hour. I'm going to have to crack down.
Yeah, that's so kind of
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
The New York Giants in my draft theory, I'll get that. If you've been listening to me all week, you know what I'm talking about. I'll prove it even further. And the Red Sox are proving my theory, too, with this whole J.D. Martinez mess.
Oh, no more J.D. Martinez. I keep on calling
him
J.T. Yeah, I'd rather call him J.T. I don't know. J.T. Snow, you know, stuff like that.
James Taylor.
It just kind of rolls off there. No interns today. We got to start getting the interns. You're really slacking on that. School or no school. Let's get them back here. They've got to work. We've got to put him to work.
Somebody must want to go get Arnie's water.
Yeah, somebody's got to get me my water. For Brady, for Rich, for Arnie, Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.